You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? Welcome to another episode of The Dream Take presented by The Dream Shake of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. Tonight, we're talking yet again another loss. It's 10 in a row for the Rockets. Unfortunately, final score, Portland 104, Houston 92. Got a lot to talk about tonight. It's just me on the mic tonight. Mike and Ray have the night off, so I'm going to be calling some people up at some point during the show on Spotify Green Room here, just to kind of get y'all's takes on this. You know, last episode, it was Mike and I, and we didn't really take too many listener feedback, but I do want to hear some feedback from you guys that are still listening to us here despite 10 straight losses, so I'm appreciative of those that are here listening to us live. But, you know, tonight, I think the Rockets kind of played the game that they were supposed to play tonight. You know, they were, I think it was a 6-point line on Vegas, and they lost by 12. You know, it's just, it's unfortunate because the Rockets, they didn't really have too much of a chance tonight, but this game could have been a lot worse than what it was. I think, you know, it's easy for us to say, oh, well, yeah, you know, this happened again. Free throws were tough. Rotations were off weird today. Even though I still believe that Silas is running decent rotations, I'm of, you know, a very small minority in that. But, you know, tonight it was just, they didn't have it. They just didn't have it. The shots were not falling. They only shot 7 of 32 from beyond the 3-point line. And look, if they go 11 of 32 from beyond the 3-point line instead of 7 for 32, they're probably playing overtime right now. So that's something to keep in mind, and I think that's what tonight's loss is all about. You can't miss threes the way they did. It's You know, and that's on the players. You got to execute, and you got to be able to make the shots when you're called upon. And, you know, it wasn't even just one guy. Like, the whole team, for whatever reason, seemed to just fall off. Maybe they just didn't have as good of a practice session as they usually do, or, you know, sometimes, you know, there are things in basketball that there are just no real explanation for, and they were just cold tonight. And, you know, maybe if I were Steven Silas, would I have possibly put in, you know, Armani Brooks in? Maybe I would have, but at the same time, you know, the plan that the Rockets have going, they aren't deviating from that yet. And whether or not that's the right or the wrong thing, that's the opinion of you. I personally think the Rockets are still on the right track. I think that it's tough to, you know, look at this team and immediately think that they should be, you know, contenders or if you're playing. I think that the record that they have is a little bit harsh compared to how they've been playing. I think maybe they could have grabbed a couple wins on this losing streak, but the reality is the Rockets lost tonight. They just didn't play well enough to get the win. They kept it close for as long as they could, but in reality, they just weren't the better team tonight. They aren't the better team on most nights because they're one of the worst teams in the NBA. There's really not much else to it, but I've got Steven here. He hit his speaker request button, so I'm going to let's get the mic over to Steven and see what he has to say, and I can add my two cents into what he has to say. But Steven, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Hey, this is DJ Steve. I had to make a new green room because I have a new phone.
Oh, what's up, Steve?
What's good?
What's up, Steve?
Doing good. Yeah. Doing good. Honestly, this game was very, very frustrating. And it's weird because, you know, as a team that's going to be rebuilding for the next, like, few years, you get used to, you know, a lot of times when we lose, it looks good. Tonight, it just did not look good. And it stems from just, I don't know how I feel about, I don't know, maybe because I've been watching our games and it just feels like our offense to this day just seems so stagnant. And I just feel like a lot of the times we're not putting ourselves in positions to win. And I really, really don't want to be that type of fan or, you know, just the type of fan that starts looking at the coaching staff, you know, because what happens usually most of the time in the league is when a team starts losing, it's, oh, this coach is the reason and so-and-so. But it just feels like I'm confused with what I feel like the Rockets don't really have an identity because.
And they're learning that identity.
Yeah, it goes a long time.
We're learning how this team is identifying as the game goes on. And 12 games into a season with a lot of new faces and a lot of new players, it's okay that they don't have an identity right now. They're learning that identity as the games go along. And it's definitely different than what we were expecting. And I think a lot of the reason why fans are disappointed and why they're pointing the finger at Silas is because on paper this team is better than a 1-11 team, and I mean I think every team in the NBA on paper, maybe with the exception of Oklahoma City, should be better than 1-11 if you really think about it, because there's just too much talent to go around in the NBA. So
absolutely,
the problem is you look at the execution tonight. To me, You can blame Silas all you want and all that, and yes, someone does have to take responsibility at the end of the day, but the threes that they missed 25 threes tonight, and it wasn't even that, like, they were, like, grazing the rim. Like, they were missing the rim completely. I want to say they had, like, eight or so threes that didn't even hit the iron. And to me, and look, I said it just a little bit ago, they lost by 12 tonight. You, instead of going 7-32, if you go 11-32, we're in overtime. It's really not that far off.
If you think about it. It's not. And it's not even the fact that people are missing shots. I think my biggest thing so far with the Rockets is just how we set our offense. Because I think defensively, as a young team, you're always going to have styles where, like, there's going to be moments where, like, you just go brain dead, like, especially on the young team. And I get that. And at times you look good, but Like, for instance, there was one moment that I caught my eye completely tonight was when Şengün, he was dunked on by Nasir Little. The next two plays, he had a three, had a bad, and he went on a little run right after that. And I was like, okay, this is exactly what I wanted to see from Şengün. But there's times when I just feel like our offense just was a little bit too basic, and it's predicated on how talented we are. Like, KPJ is a talented scorer. Jalen Green, we know he has a talent to be a great scorer. And I just feel like at times we're not really using guys in the right position or the right moments. It just feels as if, like, we – like, for instance, half the time what I've noticed with the Rockets is we run a high pick and roll, guys curling off, and when that doesn't work, it becomes an ISO situation to where we go run a pick and roll immediately. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like we're good. We're a good team. We have good talent, but it just feels like what's next after that? And I think the biggest problem for me, too, is just that going into the season, I understood we're going to lose games. But there's moments where I feel like one thing I just will not understand is us drafting four first-round picks. Now, I'm not going to say Garuba is ready to start playing games. I'm not going to say Josh Christopher is already ready to start playing crazy minutes. I just feel like with our young – like we have – around eight players.
It's hard to develop
absolutely. And that's why I was kind of shocked seeing nobody in the G League. We have around, I believe it was a stat, we have eight players who have played less than 3 years in the NBA. But we're rolling out so many veteran lineups, right? And I just want to see, I'm assuming because, you know, this is just the beginning of the year, when the season goes on, when people are trying to make that playoff push, we start playing our younger guys and to go ahead and tank. But
That will happen. You know, I think Eric Gordon's playing his way enough to where the Rockets can definitely get at least a first round pick for him. I think DJ Augustine could also be someone they look to and maybe get a trade for. David Nwaba should also be on the block. And the thing is, like, what the Rockets are lacking, they have a lot of guys that can mentor guys off the court. I think DJ Augustine is a perfect guy, NBA veteran who's seen it all, a good guy to have off the court. And the same goes for, you know, Eric Gordon. The same goes for, you know, John Lucas and the whole coaching staff. But what they lack is that guy that's on the court. They need a guy that's, like, on the court. Like, you know who, ironically enough, like, perfect for this team right now? I wouldn't exactly say John Wall,
I will say more so, like, as a guy, like
Chris Paul.
Chris
Paul. I was going to say, like, if Chris Paul's on this team, I think a lot of these problems that the Rockets are having are kind of going away. And look, John Wall, I don't think would solve all of these problems because John Wall isn't really like John Wall's a scorer. And I don't think that's what the Rockets need right now. The Rockets need more of a guy that can slow the pace down on offense. They play still at the fastest pace, if not one of the fastest paces in the whole league. And I do think that is part of why the turnovers go. And I don't necessarily think they should play slower, but I do think that they should I do think they need to change something. And I think their plan is to let Kevin Porter, like, make mistakes as he goes and learn from the mistakes and then hope that somewhere down the line it's where it goes. But at this point, like, I mean, I know I'm still kind of, like, stick to the plan with this Rockets team, but I do think that Kevin Porter is a point guard. I don't think that when this team is good again, that Kevin Porter will be that point guard. And it's unfortunate to say, because I do think that he can be that guy, but he even said it in, like, a press conference, like, in between this game and the last game, where he's kind of put the label of point guard and he's thought too much about the label of point guard and he's not playing his more free style that he's allowed to play. And I think with the Rockets, they have Christian Wood, who is, you know, trying to be that guy, like the leader for the Rockets in terms of stats and to be that leader in the front court. But I think the Rockets, what they need is a guy that can be the leader that can kind of, you know, get everyone their moment. Like, give Christian Wood their moment. Give Kevin Porter the moment. And Kevin Porter is not the kind of guy to where he can really do that for everyone yet. And that's okay, because the Rockets shouldn't be contenders anyway right now. But I do think that Kevin Porter is more of a of a two guard that needs to develop those playmaking abilities and skills, and he's doing that now. And I do think that it will be beneficial down the line. I don't think he's going to be like, you know, like Dennis Schroeder, like I hear some people saying. Like, I think he's definitely going to be better than that. But, like, it's easy for Rockets fans to feel like this isn't working because there's no progress right now. They haven't shown progress. But at the same time, we are 12 games in to an 82-game season. We got 70 games to go. And I guarantee you there will be progress made within those 70 games.
Yeah, I know there will be progress, and I just feel like right now it's more so what's going on with the fan base is that a lot of people are disappointed with basically the outcomes, because there's been so many close games where they've had opportunities, and it's just like these guys are young, so I completely understand.
The outcry would not be as loud if they won in Denver, or if they won that second game in L.A., or had they beaten Detroit. Like that, like if they beat Detroit,
I think
you're 2-10. Like it's not much, not much better.
And what kind of irks me too about the entire situation is that one, I think a lot of NBA fans don't really know how important it is for young players to be in a situation where they can easily grow in. And the Rockets right now are in the situation where, yeah, they drafted Jalen Green, but they have so many other pieces they have to go ahead and look at alongside the three other draft picks that they also drafted. So when people bring in the fact like, oh, Jalen Green is shooting inefficient, it's like you're not seeing what goes on in these games where, yeah, he may not be able to get the best of looks compared to somebody who's in a situation where they completely know their role. And I was telling my friends this. I tell all these my Rockets fans, this team doesn't have an identity right now, and people are still trying to figure out their role. Like, it's going to take a long time before then. And I just feel like right now, it really, really sucks. It sucks to see, especially when you have a team with this much talent that you know has talent, it's kind of tough trying to see it all get put together, but it's taking time. So,
and they're figuring it out. And the thing is, like, these veteran lineups, to be honest, like, if we were playing all young guys, the outcome would be like the win loss record might be the same, but they would be losing these games by a lot more. They wouldn't be as competitive in these games because those veteran guys who have established roles throughout their years in the NBA, like Eric Gordon, like Daniel House, like DJ Augustine, you know, those guys know what their roles are and they're playing those roles. Like Eric Gordon is a scorer off the bench, like he has been his whole career in Houston, and he's playing that role right now. And the same goes for Daniel House, you know, a slasher, you know, can give you a three if need be. And he hasn't been playing the best basketball he has since, you know, he's been in Houston. But I do think that he has value as a player. And I think that's, to me, that's more of the value behind playing these guys. And, you know, the thing, the arguments that they shouldn't be playing or that they should play, they're getting old, and it's only 12 games in the season. They're going to be here probably until at least February. I can't imagine Daniel House playing a whole lot of minutes for this team like come March. But the one thing I do hope is when they do trade Eric Gordon, they're going to have to take back some salary. I hope that the salary they go out and get is for a guy that's like a point guard, and they go and they get a guy that can just help limit the turnovers. Because Eric Gordon's not that kind of guy, because Eric Gordon's just flat-out scorer, and he doesn't really care who gets in the way. And sometimes he coughs the ball up because he's trying to go and score, and he's trying to, you know, create. And he's probably the best creator on this team right now. So I think that the Rockets need a guy that is more of a pass-first guy in the offense. That's kind of what DJ Augustine is now, but DJ Augustine doesn't play enough minutes to really establish himself as that kind of guy. They need to go out, get a guy, a veteran, who can help slow things down for the Rockets and then help guys like KPJ, like Jalen and Şengün and Wood, and allow them to be themselves. But, Steve-O, I'm going to send you back down. I'm going to bring Joseph up because he's got his hand raised for a while, but it's tired. But thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it. Sure. Yeah, all right. Let's see what Joseph has to say here. Joseph, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
I'm absolutely terrible, man. We've just lost 10 in a row. But I'm doing all right outside of that. Yeah. But no, come, let me hear what you got. I'm always curious to hear what you got to say.
I think I'm like reaching acceptance with just where the team is at and what our expectations and stuff should be. You know,
that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. I think a lot of people have not reached that yet. And I'm glad that you're getting this point, because at this point, like, if you're someone that gets like, and I hate to kind of, well, I'm not trying to throw Mike under the bus here, but Mike's the kind of guy that he likes to see results now, and he likes to see wins and losses and more wins and losses. But it's just not what the season's about, man. Like, it's just not. Like, go listen to our last podcast from Wednesday. Like, you'll hear just kind of the two sides of Rockets fandom right now, where I think majority of them are kind of like Mike, where they're extremely frustrated about the direction of the team and where things are. But, you know, that's not what reality is. And I've entered reality. I'm a realist person. I'm, you know, I think maybe part of that too is the fact that I am a journalist and someone that looks at the team objectively before I look at them subjectively. And I've covered this team now for the Dream Shake for 6 years. So I think it's easier for me to get to that than it is for a normal fan, because I've lived my life as a fan, and I've lived my life as a someone that is like a journalist, a reporter even. And it's a very different experience. So maybe that's why I'm a little bit more calm about the whole situation. But yeah, go back to what you were saying. I'm not trying to hog the mic for you.
No. Yeah. I thought the last pod was really great. Thank you. Like, I thought it was fantastic discussion. I think it highlights like what's great about this podcast, like the differing perspectives. Like,
thank you for that.
And to your point, I mean, I think what it really comes down to among Rockets fans is it's one of those things where it's like, you don't know what you got till it's gone. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Under Morey, we had, you know, so many years of just competence.
15 years. Know? It was 2006 was losing year, and then 2021 was losing year. So that's the difference.
Yeah. And then last year, you know, we entered with, you know, hopes of being competitive. You know, we made moves in the offseason to be competitive, and, you know, the season ended up being as, you know, tumultuous as it was. And this is the first year now that we're truly like all we're totally in the rebuild. You know what I mean? Like, we're going into it knowing that it's a rebuild. And I just think our a lot of fan expectations haven't quite, you know, shifted to match.
Because over the offseason, and there's no fault to this, but we gassed up Jalen Green, we gassed up Kevin Porter. Yeah. We gassed up Christian Wood. And look, the offseason is meant for that. The offseason, like, you know, you don't see these losses. So when you don't lose for a certain amount of time, you know, you feel pretty good about your team. And there's a lot of optimism, and that optimism is slowly fading after each loss in terms of just this team in general. I'm still very optimistic, though, about the future of this team. I think that, you know, I would be much more concerned if the Rockets were losing these games, you know, every night by 20, and if they weren't at least being competitive. And the thing is, like, in every game, like, they've lost, they could have played a lot better. Yet they are still able to compete against these teams. They're still able to compete against Denver. They're still able to compete against the Lakers. The Warriors, they held into them for, you know, a good chunk of that game. And same thing with tonight. Like, Portland's a good team. I know the record is not as indicative of what, you know, their record is, but, you know, that's a good basketball team over there. They've made the playoffs several years in a row, and Damian Lillard is insanely good, as he's always been throughout his career. So, like, tonight's game, honestly, went about as much as I thought it was going to go. Like, not much tonight really surprised me. Maybe what surprised me the most is how many threes the Rockets missed and how they missed them. I expected that to be a little bit more, but other than that, like, I mean, the turnovers tonight, let me look at that. They had
only 13 turnovers.
To me, 13 turnovers.
The second game in a row with less than 15. Like, I think we had only 13 versus
Detroit. So that average is going down. So that, to me, shows a sign of progress. And
yeah, also, I thought this was, like, a good game for KPJ. Like, 5-1 assist-to-turnover ratio might be his best of the season so far.
18 points for him, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. You would have liked
free throws, still an issue.
The free throws to be a little bit better, 3 of 7 from the charity stripe. But it's, you know, I think, like we said, like I've said before, you take one small thing about each game and you take that and you move it to the next game. And I do think that we're going to see progress eventually. Yeah. You know, that eventually might not be for a little bit. But the Rockets are not going to go 1-81. Like, they will win a game at some point. In fact, I mean, looking at the schedule coming up, like, Mike and I at the beginning of the season, like, you remember, he said that his optimism was a lot more than
we're
mine.
We're going to be around 500,
but
right?
Like, the schedule they've had so far, I mean, even though they've played 2 under 500 teams over the last 3 nights, you know, they've played some really tough teams. They've played on the road against arguably... So, I mean, if you look at the West right now, the Western Conference, they've played Golden State, they're number 1. They've played Phoenix, number 2, on the road. They play them again Sunday night. They've played Utah. They've played Denver. They've played Dallas. So they've played the top 5 teams all within this losing streak they've had. They've played the Lakers twice, and the Lakers are number 7. So 7 of the 10 losses in this losing streak come against 6 of the top 7 teams in the West.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not going to get any easier, though. Like, we got Suns, Grizzlies, Thunder, Knicks, Celtics, Bulls, Hornets, and then Thunder. So,
I mean, hopefully they can win those Thunder games.
Yeah.
But the Thunder have been playing
more competently, for
the
sure.
Thunder play a lot better. Yeah, they've definitely, you know, they've maybe figured it out a little bit more than the Rockets have, but I do think that this will eventually, you know, some team's going to have a bad night, or some team's not going to play, you know, their best players, and they'll come in, and, you know, the Memphis, OKC, New York, Boston is one road trip, so that could be a little bit difficult. But I do think this team will eventually get there, and like I've said, you know, many times in the past as well, the wins and losses are not what matters this season anyway. You know, eventually, like, it does get better. So, yeah. You have, like,
that's
when
true.
When
I,
yeah,
I
go
will
ahead.
Say though, like, it does get better. But I think the biggest, like, most crucial mistake from Stone, both like through the off season and the draft, is the lack of true facilitators. Like, we didn't sign anyone free agency, and then draft wise we didn't pick up anyone either, and it really hurts. Like, even the Thunder, you know, they've got Giddy who can facilitate,
they have,
you know what I mean?
They
like, they've
Giddy
got guys
who can facilitate, SGA can facilitate, and I think what they were doing is maybe, and this was probably just a lack of forejudgment on Stone's part, is
went all in on KBJ
they went
point guard,
yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah. And I think that they wanted, or maybe what happened was they, because look, I mean, if they weren't all in on KPJ, they would have played John Wall. And
Definitely.
This is their plan. Yeah. This is their plan. Their plan is to let KPJ go out there and get better on his own. Don't put the pressure of wins and losses on him, and let him learn just by playing, like, essentially another G League bubble this season.
Yeah, it is kind of shocking to see how much faith that they have in him. Like to this point in the season, like, offensively speaking, he definitely has been, like, the number one priority over Wood, over even Jalen Green, which I definitely didn't see that.
Because I think the Rockets look at him as the number one player that they have to develop, because they know they have him. They know that they have some semblance of NBA success with him. And they know that they have him long term. Like, they don't know if they have Christian Wood long term, and they don't know what Jalen Green can really be yet. So I think that's maybe why they're putting all this stock into Kevin Porter, and maybe that's why the team is where it is right now, is because they've put, you know, and Kevin Porter has not lived up to those expectations at least that we've had on him. Now, the Rockets have maybe a different story. And if the Rockets decide at the end of the season, because they're going to have a big decision at the end of the season as to what they do with this top pick. Because if they do get a top pick, all of the players that are going to be tops in the draft are in the front court. Like Banchero, Chet Holmgren. This is not it. So what they need to do is they need to decide if they're going to either make Wood their guy or if they're going to maneuver Wood maybe, or they're going to either need to move on from that pick to turn it into some kind of facilitator, or they're going to have to turn Wood into some kind of facilitator. I think that is the big question of the offseason that is awaiting, as for what we've seen over the past 14 or so games, or what is it, 12 games so far? That's the big question, is what are they going to do?
It could be, but I also do think that, like, even outside of that, like, I think a simple move that would have, like, really changed the way that, like, the roster has played and looked is, like, just picking up a Ricky Rubio, you know? Like, Ricky Rubio, I've mentioned before, but, like, really has changed so much for the Cavaliers' offense in terms of just making things so much more organized and
Ricky Rubio, cohesive. If I'm not mistaken, is a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, like that's I would definitely go give him a bag for sure, because that's a guy who is a pass first.
It's either this year or next year.
Point guard, you know, and that's exactly.
I think he would be a very good fit.
What we need, yeah. I definitely think
he'd be a very good fit for this roster. Yeah, so he signed a 3-year $51 million contract in 2019 with the Suns, and that would mean that this year is the third and final year of his contract. He's played for three different teams on that deal, but you know, with the Cavs and what they're doing, Ricky Rubio might not make sense beyond this season, but I think getting a guy like that, or they can get some kind of light version at the deadline, where they go out and they get, I don't know. It's I don't want to talk too much about trades right now, just because it's not going to be relevant until, you know, February, and we still have so much.
For sure, yeah.
So much will happen between now and then, and I do think that playing Kevin Porter, like, I do think Kevin Porter is slowly improving. It might not be as quickly as Rockets fans would like, but I do think that every game he is starting to, you know, play a little bit better. I think he was pissed off about how he played last game against the Pistons. I think the tweet kind of showed him out, and he kind of tweeted about it. But I think tonight he played better.
Yeah. Old Scooter.
I think tonight
activated.
Old Scooter was activated, at least a little bit of it. And hopefully we see more of Old Scooter activated for the rest of the year. But Joseph, I'm going to send you off. I'm going to quickly end the show because it's getting late over here. I need to eat. So I'm gonna send you off and wrap the show up. But thank you so much again for your insight and for supporting the show. I appreciate it. All right, and I guess to close the show, you know, another tough loss tonight. Losses are not easy to stomach, whether you're anybody. But at the end of the day, there's always the next game, and that's what the Rockets got to do. The Rockets got to play 82 one-game seasons this year. And this season was unsuccessful. You make your adjustments for the next one, and you play that season again. This season's against the Suns on Sunday. So not an easy matchup. The Rockets played in Phoenix earlier in the year. I thought they played pretty competitively against them. It was a 12-point loss on the, what was it, 4th of November. What I'm hoping to see from the Rockets on Sunday is to continue to limit the turnovers. I think that's what we saw the other day or today, and I think that helped a lot. I would like to see more of Jalen Green getting involved. I think that is, you know, something that we want to see more of in every game. But I do think that Kevin Porter, because he's so young right now, he is learning how to get himself in place in the offense before he can get anybody else in place in the offense. And I think that, to me, is kind of what's holding this team back a little bit right now, is because Kevin Porter plays such a significant role in the offense, he plays the point guard facilitator role, he is holding back what other people are, what other people are able to bring to the table. And that's why this team is where it is. And look, worst case scenario, if Kevin Porter does not show enough progress this season, then he'll probably slide to the two. They'll go and get a guy that can be that point guard, and they'll roll from there. I think that where the Rockets are right now, it's still in a good spot because they have a lot of time, a lot of players they can develop, a lot of picks that they can go out and develop, and they're going to get more with guys like Eric Gordon playing well. And, you know, I do believe someone team will trade for Daniel House. Whether or not they trade for Augustine and Nwaba is a different question, but I do think that the Rockets are building value in their veterans to trade them later in the year and then hopefully get some of this young blood going in. And I'm looking forward to the next game against the Suns. And Mike will be on the podcast on Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that as well. But I think this is a good time to park the rocket ship. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Shake. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN. You can also head to our Facebook page. Give us a thumbs up on there. Thank you to everyone who listened to us live here on Spotify Green Room. You can also head to our website, www.thedreamshake.com. Home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. And we'll be back on Sunday with another episode of The Dream Take. If you are kind enough and like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.